Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Sword and the Trowel today. Today, Pastor Tom and I talk about the new drama unfolding at Magnolia Farms with Chip and Joanna Gaines and their new affirmation of a homosexual relationship on their TV show. I hope it's a helpful conversation to you. Take a listen. Welcome to The Sword and the Trowel. The Sword and the Trowel is a podcast of Founders Ministries, and Founders exist for the recovery of the gospel and the reformation of local churches. I'm Graham Gundin.
I'm Tom Askell.
And today's episode is brought to you by the Miller's Grove Soap Company, an excellent soap company. Highly recommend you go check them out. And also Lake Yale Baptist Conference Center, a beautiful conference center up in central North Florida. Tom, today we're going to talk a little bit about the Chip and Joanna Gaines saga that is unfolding before us.
Yes, we ought to send them a copy of our book, The Beauty of the Binary, and see if they could be helped by that, because they've been in the news for bad things. I never kept up a great deal with the Gaines and their Magnolia empire that's in Waco. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Texas and spent a lot of time driving through Waco. Mm-hmm. Would stop only when necessary.
Why?
No, that's Baylor University's there, and I was a student at Texas A&M, and so it was a big rivalry there. But Waco is a beautiful town. And, you know, just appreciate the fact that Chip and Joanna Gaines seemed to be Christians and were doing what they were doing and renovating houses, making things beautiful. Mm-hmm. With a clear testimony of being devoted to Jesus Christ. But I haven't heard from them in years. I've got relatives that would travel there to do whatever the Magnolia experience is and, you know, speak highly, and a lot of the paraphernalia that they sell are in houses of mm-hmm. People that I love. So it was very disappointing to hear the last week or two things come out about this new venture. I think it's called Back to the Frontier, right? Mm-hmm. Where they, together with some other couples, our family unit, supposedly, are going out to live like it was the 1880s, you mm-hmm. know, so without modern technology, except for the film crew, of course, and the electricity that's required to drive that, to show kind of how life would have been like. And they both have talked about how it was a wonderful experience. There's one article that I saw where Joanna Gaines wept over, you know, the things that she experienced there. But what's come to the forefront is that one of these so-called family units mm-hmm. is two homosexual men mm. who have two children, I think it is, that they supposedly have adopted. And their stated purpose in doing this show is they want to normalize this perverse lifestyle that has become increasingly accepted to our society, but is 180 degrees opposite of what mm-hmm. God's word says a family is and ought to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, the desire is to kind of go back in time to a time without technology, and it's actually very, very far back in time, Spartan even, with these with this family. And it's interesting that, I mean, one a thing that you see frequently is, and I think, I don't know this for sure, but I think the two boys of that have been adopted by these two homosexual men, I don't actually think they've been adopted. I think it was surrogacy. I don't know that for sure, but that's a whole problem in and of itself.
Well, yeah, I mean, they didn't have them themselves.
Yeah, well, obviously.
They're not their biological children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and adoption is one thing. Surrogacy is incredibly damaging.
Absolutely.
Incredibly damaging to children and to society. Homosexuality itself robs children of mothers and fathers, mm-hmm. Apart from all the other wickedness that takes place. That's one of the greatest wickednesses about the sin of homosexuality. But yeah, Chip and Joanna Gaines are professed Christians. Mm-hmm. They go to church. I think Chip Gaines' last tweet was, "We're on our way to church. You'll find the Gaineses at church." And praise God, you know, we want
maybe
Christians to go to church. I don't know what church they go to.
I don't either. But I would hope that somebody in that church would love them enough to help them see what they're doing, because mm-hmm. they're affirming this.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just associated with it. They're affirming this lifestyle.
Yeah, and that's the thing here. If Chip and Joanna Gaines were not Christians, we would not be talking about this right now. I mean, it's regrettable. It's always regrettable when you see this kind of perversity normalized on television.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because they're those who name the name of Christ, claim to be Christians, yet now they have completely capitulated to the spirit of the age.
Yeah.
And the way that I see it, they've completely jettisoned all Christianity from their religion.
Yeah. And we're pastors. And so, you know, we're not sensational reporters trying to get a scoop or to just get clicks. We want to think through this as pastors who have to shepherd real people that are influenced by this kind of nonsense in our world coming from so-called Christians. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know if Chip and Joanna Gaines are Christians. They can be Christians mm-hmm. and be just completely messed up mm-hmm. in the way they're thinking about this. Christians do that. You should read the Bible with both eyes open. You'll see that happen all the time. Or if you just follow me around, you'll see that happening too frequently. So Christians can make dumb mistakes and can be bad wrong about things. Mm-hmm. But Christians need to be wired in such a way that they reorient whenever the Word of God comes to bear, because the Word of God has been given to us to make us complete for every good work that God has for us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, the Scripture is profitable for us for doctrine, for the things we are to believe, for instruction in righteousness, for correction, for reproof. And so when I'm wrong, and the Word of God comes and shows me what's right, then I ought to be corrected. There needs to mm-hmm. be a course change for me to get in line with what God has said. So there's some fundamental things I don't think we can afford to overlook when we come to this. Sometimes mm-hmm. we can assume them, but we need to bring them out and highlight them. And I would say that two of the most fundamental, but there are other things as well, is what is a Christian and what is a church? Mm-hmm. Because they're on their way to church. They belong to some kind of church, evidently. And if we have a clear concept of what a Christian is, well, that lays the foundation for what we're going to do today, which is critique mm-hmm. what they are doing. And if we have a clear concept of the church, it provides us opportunity in trying to think through it with our own people and other pastors, other Christians. How should this kind of misstep, this kind of wrong action, wrong thinking be addressed within a local assembly mm. of believers?
Yeah, so that's my question for you, Tom. I mean, what, hypothetically, Chip and Joanna Gaines, everything that's happened is happening, but they're members of Grace Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, once we learned of this, they would be addressed and say, like, tell us more. Help us to understand, because we're at a distance. We're not their pastors, and mm-hmm. we don't know everything about the show. One of the things I think Chip Gaines has said publicly is just wait, just wait, So I don't know, maybe these two guys are going to get converted and move out, and the babies will be handed over to, parents that are the way God designed parents to be.
Yeah, but according to their own statements, they're excited about this particular family because this is going to normalize
that's right.
homosexual marriage and homosexual adoptions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, you can hope for that, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. But, yeah, we would certainly talk to them. And then if what we are seeing from a distance turns out to be true up close, that, yeah, okay, you are affirming, which this is not the first time. Now that things are coming to light, Meg mm-hmm. Basham's done a lot of investigation on this and discovered things from years past where they have been affirming, a polyamorous lifestyle.
Yeah, at least this past friends. Year, not like distant past,
yeah.
but at least, perhaps still ongoing, but at least this past
that's
year.
That's right, before all this became public. So if that's the case, then we would have to address that and mm-hmm. say, look, you're part of this assembly. You've agreed to follow Christ together with us. This is not following Christ. And we're calling upon you to repent. And we give them the opportunity to repent.
Well, let's talk about that before we move on down the process that would take place. How is this, and how would you explain to Chip and Joanna Gaines that this is not following Christ?
Yeah.
Because they seem to be, at least from their public statements, seem to be convinced that this is what it looks like to follow Christ.
Yeah, well, and that raises more fundamental issues. What is love? What does it mean to be sinfully judgmental? I mean, all those kind of that language has been thrown around a lot. Man, you Christians just judge. That's all you do. Well, we're called to judge those within the household of faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're to do that in a local church context, which I think in this situation where you have public Christians, we're to be willing to publicly address their public actions mm-hmm. that would detract from the glory of Christ. So 1 Corinthians 5 certainly tells us that in the context of church discipline, that we're not to judge those outside. And so, I can tell anyone, this is what God says. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. This is what's true. This is what's false. This is what's good, what's bad, based on what the Word says. But I'm not going to try to somehow call you to live like a Christian. I'm going to call you to live like an image bearer of God mm-hmm. in God's world. And there ought to be consequences for not doing that.
I'm certainly not going to excommunicate them.
No.
Can't do that.
That's right. You know, I mean, they're not within our assembly. But if you're a part of Grace Baptist Church and many churches, I would hope more and more churches, who would take their covenantal commitments to one another and to Christ seriously, then yes. I mean, I need that personally in my own life. I need accountability. Every Christian does. And we understand that in our assembly. And so we have a covenant. Mm-hmm. And we're teaching right now an introduction to what it means to be a member of Grace Baptist Church. And the next session is going to be on the church covenant. And so we'll go through what our covenant says. And when someone joins Grace Baptist Church, we are asking them, they have to affirm beforehand, before we present them to the congregation, that they are willing to live in accordance with, not contrary to, these basic biblical standards. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to micromanage how you keep your closet or what you put in your refrigerator, but we are saying that you agree not to commit fornication mm-hmm. and not to steal mm-hmm. and not to undermine the cause of Christ in the world, these basic things that the Bible says. So when somebody begins to walk contrary to that, then we have an opportunity and a responsibility to go put our arm around them, say, brother, you know, you said you would live this way. We accepted you into membership on this basis, and now you're living contrary to that. We're calling you to repent and come mm-hmm. back. And what we found, sometimes people say, well, I've changed, you know. Well, okay, if you've changed, then that's an issue. If you no longer are willing to follow Christ with us, then you are excluding yourself from membership here, and we're going to affirm that by doing mm-hmm. what Christ calls us to do. And the most extreme form of that, of course, in Matthew 18, 1 Corinthians 5, is that you deliver them over to the devil if they become recalcitrant in their sin. You treat them as a Gentile and a tax collector, which means an outsider, somebody mm-hmm. that needs to be evangelized, not somebody that you count as a brother or sister. You quit calling them brother and sister, and your relationship with them changes on the basis of their unrepentant determination yeah. to live contrary to Christ.
There are few mercies greater than sacred spaces set apart for the soul's refreshment. At Lake Yale Baptist Conference Center, pastors find rest through sabbaticals, youth and children grow through camps, and churches gather for ministry events that strengthen the body of Christ. In a world full of noise, Lake Yale creates space to connect with God, with others, and with the mission. Lake Yale Baptist Conference Center. Connect here. Learn more at lybcc.com. That's lybcc.com.
I want to invite you to join me and Pastor Mike Law, Pastor David Schrock, in Woodbridge, Virginia, July the 29th of this year, 2025, as we have a one-day pastor's seminar dealing with the issue of persevering in pastoral ministry and how you continue on through trials, difficulties, and uncertainties. We are going to spend the whole day together. It is exclusively for pastors and elders, those that have the responsibility of leading Christ's churches throughout the United States, and especially there in the Northeast region of the United States. If you need more information about this, or if you'd like to sign up, go to founders.org, and you will see Pastor's Seminar listed there as one of the events that is upcoming.
And it's not, you know, Chip and Joanna Gaines do this. And, okay, they've done it now. They've publicly affirmed homosexuality. They're right off the bat excommunicated. No, I mean, you give them opportunity to repent. You speak the truth to them. You try to convince them of the truth. You give them opportunity to repent. This is what Jesus talks about in Matthew 18. You go to them. You go to them with multiple witnesses. The whole church goes to them. You give them so many opportunities. But if they refuse to repent repeatedly, mm-hmm. then eventually they have to become like a tax collector and a Gentile. And this is not, you know, Christians are really upset about this one issue of homosexuality, and Christians are obsessed with sex, and, you know, we have to really bring the hammer down on anyone who talks about homosexuality, and we're okay with all the other sins like pride and lying and all that kind of stuff, but it's really the homosexual stuff. No, I mean, if somebody is prideful or deceitful in such a way that they are called out on it, and they refuse to repent of it, and they continually refuse to repent of it, and the church goes to them and calls them to repent, and they refuse to repent of it, the sin of deception is one in which somebody would need to be excommunicated. And Chip and Joanna Gaines are guilty of that sin of deception in lying about what God has said about what marriage ought to be.
Yeah, so I think it was Chip Gaines that put something on social media about, you know, how much hatred is being shown.
Well, let me read his statement. Let me read his tweet. He said, talk, ask questions, listen, maybe even learn. That's too much to ask of American Christian culture. Judge first, understand later, or never. It's a sad Sunday when non-believers have never been, and he puts non-believers in quotes. Right? It's a sad Sunday when non-believers have never been confronted with hate or vitriol until they are introduced to a modern American Christian. And so for Chip Gaines, it's the Christians who are opposed to a homosexual marriage and a homosexual-centric family, those Christians are the ones who are guilty of sin. Right. They're the ones that are guilty of hate and vitriol. They're the ones that are guilty of judgment, being judgmental. And the sin of being judgmental is really, for people like Chip Gaines, it's the one sin that you cannot commit, and the one sin that all Christians are guilty of, and they refuse. It's the minute you call anyone else out on their sin, you're being judgmental and you're being a hypocrite. You're not allowed to call people out on their sin. You're not allowed to judge other people. And it's, I think, a radical misunderstanding of what Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount. It says, judge not lest ye be judged. We're all going to be judged by God. But he's saying, you know, there are sins in your own heart that you have to deal with. Don't go around calling other people out acting as if that you're fine. No, you can call other people out in humility and in love, understanding that you yourself are a sinner and you yourself need the grace of God just as much as this other person that you're calling out. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 6, you mentioned 1 Corinthians 5 earlier, we're not to judge those outside the church. But then he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that the saints will judge the world. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing sinful about judging other people, because that's actually what we will be called to do eventually. We'll judge the world with Christ. So it's not, the problem is not being judgmental. The problem is not that people are being hateful or vitriolic. The problem is that Chip Gaines has a worldly, cultural, pagan understanding of what love is, of what righteousness is, of what wickedness is. And he's actually calling, as God condemns in the prophets, he's calling evil good and good evil.
Yeah. Yeah, so it sure seems like he's been well discipled by the world.
Yeah, and it's heartbreaking for a guy who, you know, from all accounts, takes his family to church every Sunday.
Yeah,
he should be discipled by his church to oppose these things of the world, but rather he's being discipled by the world to oppose the teachings of the church.
Yeah, and I want to come back and drill down on that a little bit about the church, because we've faced this in our own congregation, and we've seen people navigate this well, at great cost or great risk, in trying to respond to challenges and requirements at work that were put upon them. And they, as Christians, said, no, we can't do this. But one point that needs to be made is understanding the kind of abomination that is homosexuality, sexual perversion, LGBTQs,
LGBTQIA plus.
I can't get them all right. Yeah. All the alphabet in there. This is not just a sin of lying. I mean, lying will take you to hell. So, you know, so-called white sins will take you to hell. There's no doubt about that. Some sins are worse than others.
Absolutely.
And these sins are at the top of that list. These are abominations in God's eyes. Romans 1 teaches us this, because Paul talks about not just inverting the created order, where we worship the creature for the creator instead of the creator. But he goes on to talk about how men exchange the normal relations that they would have with women for unnatural relations, women for women with unnatural, contrary to nature. And so it's like he's making an argument of what sin has done, and he holds up homosexuality and this kind of sexual perversion as an epitome of what sin will do if it's left unchecked. You quit worshiping the creator, and you're on a pathway that takes you so far down that ultimately, the word he uses there is they gave up natural relations with women, were consumed with passions for one another, committing shameless acts with men, receiving in themselves due penalty for their error, and God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done.
They were consumed with passion for one another, committing shameless acts.
Yeah. So
and God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not be done. This is how he describes homosexuality. The dishonoring of their bodies, exchanging the truth of God for a lie.
Yeah.
There are other sins described in this way, but this is like a pinnacle of earthly judgment that God brings to those who invert the worship of God and worship the creature rather than the creator. That then also leads to the inversion and perversion of the rest of their lives as well.
And it's become, as they've said, you know, we want to normalize this lifestyle. We want to encourage other homosexuals to pursue homosexual marriage and have children brought into that relationship. This is encouraging what God abominates and what will take people to hell. You know, I know Tim Keller, his famous little statement that J.D. Greer and Ed Litton and whoever else have mimicked multiple times, that, you know, I know homosexuality won't take you to hell because heterosexuality won't take you to heaven. I mean, that's just the stupidest thing in the world. I know being a thief won't take you to hell because being honest won't take you to heaven. You know, I mean, where are you going to stop on that kind of nonsense? So that has normalized this, and that has tried to take this idea of sexual perversion that 10 minutes ago even pagans realized was so wicked that you just did it in closets. You didn't you didn't parade down streets, and made it the one thing that if Christians speak against, you're bigots, you know, you're homophobes. And Christians have been silenced on this. And so I'm not advocating that, you know, we become a part of the crowd that just goes over the top and lambasts these people as hopeless. They're not. I mean, such were some of you. So there's grace and salvation for people who have given themselves up to the kind of things that the Bible calls unnatural passions.
Yeah.
There's hope. There's grace. But that hope and grace is in repentance from their sin, trusting Christ as Savior, being forgiven and made new by him. It is not in accept us, love us, affirm us.
Yeah. If, you know, if I were doing things that was dishonoring my body, that was that led to me becoming you know, full of passion, giving myself over to impurity, receiving in myself the due penalty for my error, if I was committing a shameless acts, if I was given up to a debased mind to do what ought not be done, I would hope that someone would come to me, because that's a miserable life.
Yeah, yeah.
That's misery. I don't care how much you love that kind of behavior and how much you think that you enjoy it. That's a miserable life. And so if I were, you know, you take it out of the realm of homosexuality, if I were doing anything else that was could be described in those terms, I would hope somebody would love me enough to come to me and say, this is what's making you miserable. You need to come to see this, and you need to turn from what you're doing right here. And so it's not as Chip Gaines has claimed, it's not hatred and vitriol. Now, there are some, I think, you know, that certainly are going to come at this from a very judgmental spirit, acting as though they're more righteous, they're more holy because they've not given into these particular sins, and criticizing a homosexual makes them feel more righteous, makes them feel more pure, makes them feel, gives them a sense of spiritual supremacy. I mean, that's something we got to be on the lookout in all of our own hearts. But just because you come and you criticize a homosexual for their lifestyle does not mean that you're guilty of that sin. And even if you are guilty of that sin in some way, it's still a loving thing to do to help them to see the error of their ways and the misery of their own lives.
Are you looking for healthy bath and body products that are made by a family who unashamedly fears the Lord and seeks to build the kingdom? Well, Miller's Grove Soap makes handcrafted soaps and balms for the whole family. They only use quality oils and butters and grass-fed beef tallow, essential oils, and other good gifts from God's good creation in their luxurious bath products. So stop using harmful products from godless corporations and be a good steward of the body that God has given you. Visit themillersgrove.com today and see their spectacular lineup of soap and other products. That's millersgrove.com. Listeners to The Sword and Trowel can use code FOUNDERS at checkout for a 10% discount on your first purchase. Remember, life is short, fear God, build his kingdom, and use the good soap, which is Miller's Grove soap.
I'm excited to introduce to you a new resource, a commentary on the Baptist Catechism by Dr. Jim Scott Orrick. In this insightful work, Jim Scott Orrick unpacks the Baptist Catechism, shedding light on the foundational truths of the Christian faith. It's rooted in the historic Westminster Shorter Catechism. The Baptist Catechism offers a clear and concise summary of core Baptist doctrines. Drawing on years of experience teaching the Catechism, Orrick brings the Catechism to life with vivid illustrations and a warm, accessible writing style. His approach is designed to inform and illuminate, helping modern readers to grasp timeless truths with clarity and conviction. Whether you're leading a group study or seeking to deepen your own understanding, this commentary offers both depth and clarity. With this guide, even the newest believer can confidently explore the heights and the depths of biblical doctrine. So order your copy today at press.founders.org.
How much do you have to hate me to let me go down a path that's contrary to what God says is the pathway that leads to life everlasting without trying to help me? Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to be pretty hard-hearted to be silent, especially when I have professed to love Christ and follow Christ with you, and I pledged myself to mm-hmm. do that, and you pledged yourself to me. And again, that's why we need accountability, and we've seen that happen. And I praise God for those that have loved me enough to help me see the error of my thinking, the error of my choices, mm-hmm. and get me restored back to a right orientation of looking at things. You know, I said that we face this in our own church, and most recently, the one I can recall is a man in our church that was required by his supervisors at work to promote and be involved in an LGBTQ effort that mm-hmm. they had contracted for. And so, man, he's just he's concerned about, you know, what he's going to do, and sought counsel and prayer. And there were lots of avenues open to him. One was, you know, religious kind of exemption, but he didn't take that. What he did was he appealed to his employer, his boss, supervisor, who is very
a homosexual.
Yeah, you know, it means
I think two of his bosses that he had to appeal to were both homosexuals.
Yeah, and so he wrote them a wonderful letter affirming his testimony as a Christian. And let me just read to you part of it. He says, "As a Christian, I hold to the truth of Scripture regarding gender, sexuality, and marriage. I believe God created us male and female, that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that we are called to live in accordance with His design, what He has revealed in His Word. Because of these convictions, I cannot in good conscience create or contribute to any materials that promote messages contrary to these beliefs in any way." And he goes on and says, "Yeah, I respect everyone as creatures made in God's image. I will do what I can to help people to do what they're called to do. But as a slave of Jesus Christ, I can't do this." Mm-hmm. And praise God, God gave him favor with his superiors.
And they responded very well and very kindly to him.
They did. So he gave a good Christian witness. And that witness is there. God preserved his job. That doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people lose jobs, and you know, I've had to counsel folks in that too, and just you need to be prepared to lose your job, you mm-hmm. know, and I hate that, but we're not the first generation to face that type of choice, you know. Just give a little pinch of incense, just a little pinch. Nobody will care. Mm-hmm. Just a little pinch, mm-hmm. and you'll be let free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can do that. Mm-hmm. Our forefathers didn't do that. They had their heads rolled down dusty Roman roads
yep.
as a consequence of their refusal to bow the knee to the state or false gods and deny Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, there are many Christians who kind of want to put their heads in the sand and act as though, well, the Bible's kind of ambiguous when it comes to the issue of homosexuality. Yeah, sure, you can bring up Sodom and Gomorrah, but really the true sin there was they were inhospitable, as if there's any ambiguity in the text of Genesis at all. And Jude, actually, the book of letter of Jude, goes on to actually specify that no, actually, this was unnatural sexual desire that Sodom was guilty of. But then, you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, as we referenced earlier in verse 9, he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Okay, so what is unrighteousness? Well, it's doing what God forbids. It's living contrary to God's revealed law. Do not be conceived or deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So will homosexuality keep you out of heaven? Will it send you to hell? Paul is pretty clear here that yes, absolutely. Amen. As well as being greedy, mm-hmm. being a drunkard will send you to hell. You know, I know that being a drunkard won't send you to hell because being sober won't send you to heaven. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Stupid. That's number one. I mean, do they not teach logic in these schools, as Lewis said? But number two, it's just so blatantly unbiblical.
Yeah.
But I mean, and we could go to many different texts. We've gone to Romans 1 that homosexuality is clearly condemned as a sin, along with many, many other sins that will indeed keep one out of the kingdom of heaven. But then Paul goes on to say in verse 11, none of these unrighteous ones will inherit the kingdom of God, including homosexuals. And he says, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Mm. So yeah, you can be guilty of the sin of drunkenness. You can be guilty of the sin of idolatry. You can be guilty of the sin of homosexuality and still go to heaven. Why? Because you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. You can be forgiven by Christ because of what he's done when you repent of your sin mm-hmm. and when you trust in him. And that's the encouraging thing. I mean, you hear even from so many Christians who will say and affirm what the Bible says about homosexuality. Yes, it's sin. No Christian should be guilty of it. We should seek to run from the sin of homosexuality. But for those who are given over to that proclivity towards homosexuality, there's really no way to be rid of that. You mm-hmm. can't do anything. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of, that's how you were born. That's who you are. And so you should live in celibacy, but don't seek to become straight or heterosexual. But Paul here, he says, no, such were some of you.
Right.
You were homosexuals. You no longer are homosexuals. Right. That's actually possible for those who have been redeemed by Christ. And so that's an encouragement for anyone who's listening, or perhaps you're a pastor and you have someone in your church that you're trying to minister to who struggles with this temptation of homosexuality. Perhaps they're guilty of the sin of homosexuality. That they don't have to live that way. You don't have to live that way. You can find forgiveness in Christ, and you can say, as Paul says here, such was I. I was a homosexual. I no longer am. I no longer am given up to a debased mind. I no longer am committing shameless acts in my body. I'm no longer given over to unnatural desires, but Christ has saved me. He's brought me into his kingdom, and he's healed me. And he really can truly do that. And that's the message that Christians should be giving to homosexuals. It should not be a message of, hey, it's okay. It's all right. Homosexuality is fine, and it's actually a good thing, and we want to normalize it, and we want to normalize homosexual adoption and homosexual relationships, and so we as Christians are going to affirm homosexuality. That's the exact opposite of what we should do if we want to be faithful to the Word of God, and it's the exact opposite of what we ought to do if we want to be loving to these people. We should be seeking their conversion into the kingdom of God, and conversion out of homosexuality that will come along with that if they come into the kingdom of God.
Yeah, great, great resources for this, or anything Rosaria Butterfield has mm-hmm. Written or taught. And then we did a podcast with Christopher Yuan mm-hmm. about holy sexuality. God saved him out of a homosexual lifestyle, and he's come to see these things clearly. Sadly, we have within the Christian community, even within the Reformed Christian community, those that would advocate things like Revoice and, you know, say, hey, you know, it's okay living out. It's okay for you to have homosexual desires. That's not that's different than homosexual acts, and the desires are okay because heterosexual people have lustful desires as well, and it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Jared Moore has done great work on this, and we've got a little booklet that he's done for us that's just outstanding on mm-hmm. this. He's got a larger book on this as well. But we've got to get straight on this issue of sexuality, which goes right back to just the way God created us to be, which again, and I keep promoting books. I'm not trying to do that, but the business of isness and what David Schrock has written, that is a new book just come out from Founders about how God has made the world. And God made men and women. Humanity is made up of a male and a female. Mm-hmm. And there's not 75 different genders. There's male and female, and male and female to coming together in covenant commitment in marriage. That's what constitutes a marriage. Anything else, I don't care what the Supreme Court says or anybody else, it is not marriage. God created marriage, and he created it between one man, one woman, in a one-flesh relationship for all of life. I mean, that's kind of the subsoil that has been eroded away that makes it hard to talk about these issues because people no longer have the foundation on which to stand. That's why we, as stewards of God's word, have to be very clear in teaching these fundamental, basic realities. We can no longer assume that people understand this is the way God made his world to operate, and we are creatures made in his image, for him, by him, and we have to operate according to what he says.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the world has been so effective at its discipleship and the church has been so ineffective at its discipleship, we can no longer afford to assume that Christians understand these basic realities.
That's right.
And so, you know, I know from a pastoral perspective, sometimes you just feel like you're repeating things that people already know. Can we just move on to new things and teach people new things? You gotta keep repeating the things that everyone already knows because not everyone knows it and people forget it and they need to be reminded. And they're constantly receiving these messages and these images from advertisements and TV shows and podcasts and Magnolia Farms. If they're constantly repeatedly getting these messages from the world, they need to constantly be getting the messages of the truth from the church.
Yeah.
And that's another thing is, you know, Magnolia, when this story first came across my, you know, my world, I didn't really think much of it. I never really considered Chip and Joanna Gaines and never really thought about their Christianity or their witness or anything like that. It wasn't just not very important to me. But, you know, of course, I'm a millennial Christian man, so why would it be? But it's incredibly important to the millennial Christian woman and the Gen X Christian woman and the boomer Christian woman and to the Gen Zer Christian woman.
Us and, boomers are safe, though, right?
Yeah. I know whole groups of women from the Midwest, Christian women who have, you know, made their pilgrimage down to Magnolia Farms because it's huge. Yeah, it's really huge. Their magazine, their TV shows, the products they sell at Target and everywhere else. And it really is. I mean, you probably walk into any Christian home and the Gaines influence is there. Probably no matter what Christian home you walk into in America, there's a Gaines influence there somewhere. And it's not just the home decor that is influencing our women in particular. The messages that come, and you know, there's a lot of good, strong, faithful women, and they're not going to be deceived by these things. But there are a lot of women who are led by weak husbands and in squishy churches who are going to see this, oh, Chip and Joanna Gaines, you know, they seem to be affirming of a homosexual marriage. Maybe I should just give it another thought. And that can be, you know, the first domino to fall in a whole line of deconstruction for a lot of women. And I mean, if recent history has taught us anything, I mean, one of the greatest drivers and leaders of the American evangelical church is the millennial suburban soccer mom.
Yeah.
And the Gaineses are going to be far more influential to the Christian millennial soccer mom than you and I are ever going to be.
I want to invite you to join us for the National Founders Conference, January 22nd through 24th, 2026, here in Southwest Florida. Bodie Balcom, Joel Beakey, along with Dusty Devers and Alex Kochman and David Schrock will be joining me as we address the theme, Make Disciples, God's Mandate from the Home to the Ends of the Earth. We want to explore what God requires of his people as creatures made in his image, as well as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. For more information and to register, you can go to founders.org/conference.
What if our understanding of Christianity and politics is fundamentally flawed? King of Kings, a reform guide to Christian government, is the result of needing to rethink political theology in recent years. In it, Pastor James Baird presents a bold and compelling case for a radical proposition that governments must promote Christianity as the only true religion. Drawing from Scripture, the Reformed Confessions, and the insights of the American founders, this concise but powerful primer offers a clear and urgent call to Christians. It's short enough to read in one sitting. It provides a gateway into a rich tradition that many have forgotten, and a vision for recovering it today. You can order your copy today at press.founders.org.
which again goes back to what is it that God has created the church to be and do? You know, what does it mean to have Christ as head of the church? What does a Christocracy look like in a local assembly? And pastors, we have to take that seriously and do our jobs, even when that puts us contrary to the spirit of the age that some of our people have imbibed. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's hard. There's no easy path through it. But there has to be some resolve. There has to be a clarity in this is what the Word of God says. We're not going to compromise that. And this is what the Word of God instructs us to do. We're not going to deviate from that. And you give yourself to it. And what you find, and we've discovered this, is people that you love, that you have great hopes for, who have been discipled by the world. You know, they can begin to be standoffish, or they can begin to drift because they're just not thinking rigorously as biblically as they ought to. Mm-hmm. And it starts with this kind of stuff. Like, you know, here are these Christian influencers. These are people I've respected and admired. Look how successful they are. And so, okay, I'm not going to promote it, but, you know, maybe I'll just get silent about it. You know, I'm not going to make this a big deal. It's obviously not a big deal to them. And once you begin down that road, the end is not in sight. You will continue on. You'll continue to be steered. You'll continue to be driven by those who have an agenda, as this homosexual man and man do, saying, we want to normalize this. Mm-hmm. This is going to give us an opportunity to have a big platform to show the world, yes, we're family too, just like Chip and Joanna are family. So what's the church's duty? The church's duty is to teach the Word of God, to encourage God's people who say they love Jesus and are going to follow Jesus to stay on that straight and narrow path and to help each other and to get the whole congregation on board with that. And again, you do that in two ways. I mean, discipline, when we talk about church discipline, very often the thing that comes to mind is that backdoor discipline, you know, what you do on the back end when someone strays. Mm-hmm. But front door discipline is equally important, maybe more important, because what you need to do is say, look, if you're going to join with us, know who we are. Mm-hmm. Don't come in trying to change us. Don't come in because you want to take a cafeteria-style approach that I'm going to take this and leave that. And, you know, man, I like the Sunday morning sermons, but I don't like the music, so I'm just going to show up when the sermon starts. Mm-hmm. Or I love the music, but I don't like the sermon, so I'm going to leave when the sermon starts. I mean, you can't do that. Or I want this ministry, but not that. No, this is who we are, and this is how we're going to live together. I mean, we've had to do this countless times in our membership interviews to help people understand this is who Grace Baptist Church is. You say that God's leading you to join here, but you have these idiosyncrasies that you want to see the church change to accommodate. Well, the very thing that you say has attracted you, that God's led you to say you want to join, is what now you're trying to change. We're not going to do that.
Right.
We're not going to accommodate your particular idiosyncrasies because you think you're special or you have come to some strange convictions, like you can't compromise it. If you can't compromise that and it's going to be problematic in the church, this is not the church for you.
Correct.
So that doesn't eliminate problems because we're all sinners and we're the church is led by sinners, but at least we have a baseline at the front door of this is who we are, this is how we understand God's called us to live, and to the best of our ability, we're committed to that, and we're going to help each other. And when we start deviating from that, we're going to ask the congregation to help us get back on center. Every member has that responsibility.
Yeah, you know, two things come out of that. First, just the damaging nature of individualism in the church. We are individuals. We're not called to be individualistic. We are part of a community. We're part of the Church of Christ, and we are to submit ourselves. And what does it look like to submit yourself? Submit your preferences, submit your ideas, submit your desires to the Word of God and to the authority of Christ as it's exercised in the church. Christ is exercising his authority in the church. And if you think you're going to come in and you're going to change everything and you're going to have problems with everything and cause dissension, and like that's just that is you're being a tool of Satan at that point. The second thing is, and I think a lot of churches don't think about the importance of this aspect of church ministry, but having a filter at the front door. Mm-hmm. Having a filter at the front door. Often we want to attract people, and it's good to attract people. That's not a bad thing. You know, I think There's a lot of problems with the seeker-sensitive movement and the tractional models and all that stuff, but we don't want to be unwelcoming or like do things to put people off on purpose. We want people to feel welcome, that we want them to come. But when it comes to entering into membership in a local congregation, having those filters up front and just saying right off the bat, you don't have to be a member here. Mm-hmm. And we don't think that you have to be a member here. We would love for you to be here if it's possible, but this may not be the right church for you. And that can save a lot of headaches going into the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And it needs to be done both for the welfare of the whole congregation, the church, but the individual as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we've had people show up and say, well, here's my spiritual gift. How could I exercise my gift in this church if I become a member? It's almost like they're trying to negotiate with us. And we say, well, you know, may or may not, because we believe that gifts are to be utilized as the church needs them, not as you feel the need to use them. And so if those things jive, great. If not, then it's not going to happen here.
Yeah. And in so many ways, you know, the church is not here simply to serve the individual and help the individual feel fulfilled in their ministry. Now, hopefully we can do that. And pastors and ministers are here to serve our flock, no doubt. But that's not the reason the church exists. Mm-hmm. The church exists to proclaim the glories and the truths of God and to see people brought into the kingdom of God.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, I mean, this is an important subject, and Chip and Joanna Gaines has just given us an opportunity to think through it again and to try to do the best we can to help shepherd the people of God in our local congregations and to help members to be as faithful as they can be to the Word of God and to help those who lead them in their churches to live responsibly as Christians. I'll probably get in trouble for this, but
You've never done that before.
Luke Griffo's book, The Beauty of the Binary, is so good on this, how God created male and female. Let's offer that. If I have to...
Executive authority.
I know. If I have to pay out of my own pocket, we'll do that. But let's offer this at 40% off for the next 10 days or until... this is July. So till the end of July. Mm-hmm. So until August the 1st, 2025, if you order Luke Griffo's The Beauty of the Binary, then you're going to get it at a very deep discount, 40% off. And we'll make that link available once I do my penance to the people in charge of making those decisions and tell them how I've messed up. Because it's a good book. It ought to be widely read, ought to be widely distributed, and especially right now when the conversation is swirling around these issues that have arisen because of Magnolia and their failure.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for listening to this conversation on The Sword and the Trowel. If it's been helpful to you, we'd ask you to like and subscribe and share on all the different platforms that you listen to podcasts. Especially if you think of different pastors or different churches or different friends that this could benefit them, definitely send it over their way. And we will see you next time.